The scripture reading this morning is from Galatians 3, verses 24. 3:24. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we may be justified by faith.
With today being a potluck Hawaiian style, I thought about preaching on idolatry, but I decided to pass on that one. The Kahiki's not around anymore, so we don't have any idols in town anymore. I was blessed when I was a kid to have a brother who was pretty ornery. And my brother spent a lot of times pushing the limits. And by that I mean bad behavior. He did a lot of things that little boys do and probably shouldn't do. And I say I was blessed by that because I learned a lot about what not to do. He was out there being the trailblazer. He was out there showing all these things that are not good behavior. He had his good traits too. I don't want to make him out to be horrible or anything, but I learned a lot by watching him and seeing, yep, that doesn't work. Don't do that. I don't know if any of you have had a brother or maybe a friend that you learned some lessons from by watching them and finding out what not to do. I've had examples in my life where I saw people do tremendous things that taught me what to do. And I'm so thankful to my parents for living the kind of life that they did, which allowed me to see who God is and their example. Well, today I want to talk to you about the relationship of the Old Testament to the New Testament. And some people are like, okay, we're going to watch paint dry today. But I think it's important for us to understand that and what its relationship to our lives are today. It's cheaper to learn lessons through others' experiences. Learning from others' experiences can be faster, safer, and more cost-effective than learning entirely through your own trial and error. You know, if you know somebody has struggled with something or ran into a problem with something, you can go talk to them and get advice and find out what missteps not to make or what things to make sure that you do to be successful. It allows us to avoid costly mistakes. It allows us to learn faster. Social learning and vicarious learning can accelerate our knowledge, our acquisition of that knowledge by providing real-world examples. It lowers our emotional and financial cost. You can gain insights without enduring the same hardships, the same amount of wasted time, or the misuse of resources. And it gives us a broader perspective. It allows us to have an understanding from diverse experiences from different people. And by being exposed to those different viewpoints and solutions and strategies, it gives us an improved understanding. In other words, we're better off together because we learn from one another and what we do right and what we do wrong. Well, Paul explains the relationship in Galatians 3:24 as the Old Testament being a tutor to the New Testament. And he says that he does that so that we can be justified by faith. The Old Testament is going to teach us a lot of things about what not to do, and it's going to teach us a lot of things about what to do. You know, when we talked about Job this morning and saw that he offered sacrifices for his children, that wasn't an empty exercise. He loved his children. He demonstrated it. And he tried to influence them and God towards a deeper, stronger faith. That's something we should learn from in our own life as fathers to our children and fathers to those who are weaker in the faith. The Old Testament reveals humanity's need for salvation. The law exposed sin. It showed that people cannot make themselves righteous before God. Over and over and over and over again in the Old Testament, we see people who strove for perfection and fell short. They tried to do everything that they could to be righteous before God, but they could not make themselves righteous on their own. God wanted us to learn that lesson, that there is no righteousness without Him, without the blood of His Son. Paul wrote in Romans 3:20, "Through the law comes knowledge of sin." One of the first things that we have to do if we're going to defeat a problem is understand it, to know what the problem is. For those of you who struggle with your budgets and wonder why you can't come full circle every month to make ends meet, do you understand what the problem is? Some of you might say, well, there's just not enough money coming in. And others might say, well, you know, I just spend too much. And others might understand that it's our behavior that determines what our budget looks like. That's what the real problem is. Then we can take action to try to resolve it. So in this way, the Old Testament tutors us by revealing the seriousness of sin and our need for a Savior. How many times do we see people in the Old Testament who their sin has caused them to be separated from God? The Old Testament itself teaches that sin separates humanity from God. Isaiah says in Isaiah 59:2, "But your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear." The Israelites got into a cycle where they would get right with God and then they would forget Him. And then something horrible would happen to them and they would call out to God again. And they would realize their sin. And they would get back with Him. And things would be great until they forgot Him again. Over and over that cycle happens. We hear the term today, break the cycle. Are we breaking the cycle in our lives? Are we breaking the cycle of sin that takes us away from God? The Old Testament warns us about that. The Old Testament points forward to Jesus. Jesus taught that the Old Testament scriptures point to Him as well. If we went over to John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus says, "You examine the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is those very scriptures that testify about me." Jesus is the answer, is what Jesus is saying. And He says these things so that we understand the relationship between Scripture and His authority. After His resurrection, Jesus also explained that the things written about Himself in all the Scriptures were so that we could understand how to make it to heaven. We know that we understand Jesus more through the Scripture, and that He's the one who provides us salvation. It means that the Old Testament serves as a tutor by giving us promises, prophecies, patterns, and shadows that prepare readers to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. Everything in the Old Testament points to Jesus. You know, when people say, well, the Old Testament doesn't apply to me today, does understanding more about Jesus and what He would be like when He got here mean something to you? We need to understand Jesus more. So a study of the Old Testament is important. We understand from the Old Testament that the sacrificial system demonstrated a need for atonement. I am so glad that we don't have to go out and sacrifice animals out in the parking lot now before we come in to worship. They had to do that in the Old Testament. They had to go before the tabernacle and sacrifice There were sacrifices for everything. Why did God demand that? Because He wanted to teach us that blood was necessary for atonement. He wanted to teach us that that same Jesus that we just heard about, that the Old Testament points forward to, would give His blood once and for all so that we don't have to make sacrifices. He was the perfect sacrifice. When we understand that the blood of bulls and rams are not going to save us, but the blood of Jesus is, we understand what the Old Testament is trying to tell us. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls." You want to talk about people not understanding what the problem is? They don't understand that they need to be saved. They think, I can just float along in this life, and when I'm dead, I'm okay, I'm dead. They don't understand that there's a life worth living after this life. That's the life we're living for. That's where we're headed to. And we need the atonement of the blood of Christ to be able to get there. These sacrifices in the Old Testament trained Israel to understand that forgiveness required the shedding of blood. The New Testament explains that fulfillment in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And in Hebrews 9:26, it says, Christ has been revealed to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. We can get clean. You ever wake up in the morning and just think, man, this world, ugh. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't like it. I don't like what I see in the news. I don't like what people do. I'm sick of it. Hopefully you only deal with that every once in a while, not live there on a daily basis, but there are times when it's like, okay, Christians, what did you expect this world to be like? Was there a curse that was put on the world when Adam was thrown out of the garden? Yeah. Is this world the place, the end-all, the be-all that we're supposed to be at? No. Jesus points the way to another place. A place with no tears. A place, more importantly, talk about what's your price. Is your price, you just want to be at a place with no tears? Or is your price, I want to be with God? That's what the Old Testament calls us to be with God. The Old Testament sacrifices were therefore a tutor that prepared God's people to understand the once and for all sacrifice of Jesus. The Old Covenant prepares the way for the New Covenant. We got the Old Deal, we got the New Deal. Okay? The Old Deal wasn't effective, the New Deal is. The prophets announced that God would establish a New Covenant, the New Testament, if you will. Jeremiah records God's promise in Jeremiah 31:33. I will put my law within them and write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God's going to put it on our heart. He's going to be our God, and we're going to be His people. That's what God wants. It prepares the way for us to understand that new covenant that He's made. It's something greater than external commandments. It's something greater than just doing things by rote. It makes a transformed heart, and it restores our relationship with God. The New Testament identifies Jesus as the mediator of this new covenant. You know, baseball is going to have a rough time. They're talking about next spring that maybe they won't even have a season start because the players and the owners can't divide billions of dollars equitably. They need a mediator. And I bet at some time there'll be a government mediator that comes in and tries to pull them together. What does that mediator do? He tries to say, hey guys, can you move a little on this? Hey guys, can you move a little on this? And he brings them together closer and closer till they get a deal. Okay? Well, Jesus is the one who made the perfect deal. He moved all the way for us, giving His life on a cross. That's how far He went in mediation. That's why it's so important that we understand Him more. At the Last Supper in Luke 22:20, Jesus said, "This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Hebrews also says in Hebrews 8:6 that Jesus has obtained a more excellent ministry as the mediator of a better covenant. We have a better testament. We have a better deal. Okay? He's there. He's got His hand out saying, "Jump, I'll catch you." Are you willing to obey Him and do the things that He's asked us to do? Or are you going to stand on your side and die? The Old Testament provides examples and warnings for the New Testament. The Old Testament tutors believers by giving examples of faith, obedience, unbelief, and judgment. Paul says of Israel's wilderness experience in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, "These things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction." You know, those Israelites weren't wandering out in the desert for 40 years because Noah was afraid to ask for directions, contrary to modern thought, okay? They were wandering out there because God said, "You're going to wander." Why? Because the older ones in Israel didn't have faith in God that they could go take over the promised land. They taught their children. And when the older ones were gone, their children who had grown up, had a restored faith, went in to take the land. That's why they wandered 40 years. Because they learned from their parents' mistakes. Are we going to learn from the Israelites? Are we going to put our faith and our trust in Jesus? Are we going to understand that it's essential for us to do so if we want to be walking with God? The stories are not merely history. They instruct us on how to walk faithfully with God. Romans 15:4 adds, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We don't have to look at the old ways and bang our heads up on the wall doing the same thing over and over and over again to no result. We can do things the new way, the way that God has put forth to us. And now we have hope. We have hope that we can be with God in heaven. We have hope that we can live an abundant life that has been promised to us. We have hope that Jesus will intervene for us. We have 100 other hopes. Those are pretty big ones, though, okay? We have hope. And it's not just, I hope so. It's that we have hope. We got a direction. We got a plan. We're going to follow it. We're going to make our way to heaven. Jesus, through the Old Testament shadows, demonstrates His substance. The New Testament teaches that parts of the Old Testament were shadows pointing to the reality found in Christ. I think of the Lord of the Rings and the Pippin singing his song about mist and shadows. The Old Testament was mist and shadows. Colossians 2:17 says that the food laws, the festivals, the new moons, and the Sabbaths were only a shadow of what's to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. Hebrews 10:1 says, "For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the form of those things itself, can never make those who approach perfect." The law was a shadow, but now we have grace. The law was not going to make us perfect, but now through the blood of Christ, we can approach God's throne. We went from shadow to light. As a tutor of the Old Testament gives the outline, the New Testament reveals the fullness. The tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the kingship, and the covenant promises all prepare the reader to understand Christ in His person and work. There are benefits of learning through experience. There's practical skill development. Learners apply theoretical knowledge in real-world context. They enhance their problem-solving and decision-making. Studying the Old Testament will give you some skills. Those benefits give us cognitive and emotional growth. We have a reflection on our experiences, and it strengthens our critical thinking. When you go to the Old Testament and you ask questions about what was God trying to teach us there, you engage your brain. You start thinking about things. The Old Testament gives us resilience and adaptability. We experientially learn through the Old Testament, and it allows us to cope with challenges, adapt to change, and develop and grow. And the Old Testament gives us social and collaborative skills. It engages us in the things that they were trying to do. It engages us in trying to work together to understand. It engages us in communication about the Scriptures and encouraging one another. It engages us in empathy. And it engages us as a congregation to work together. God's people working together to understand more. You know, there is a story, I think, that from the New Testament that could help us to learn and not do that. There's a guy in Luke chapter 16. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus was a rich guy. And Lazarus had a man that would hang out at his gatepost every day who was poor. His name was Abraham. In verse 22, "Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out and said, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame.'" I think we need to learn from this man. I think we need to learn from this rich man and understand the mistakes that he made. I don't want to wake up in torment. I want to be with God. See, not everything in the Old Testament is a threat. Not everything in the New Testament is a threat. There are people that say, well, if your God is going to threaten me, I'm not going to listen to him. Your God is not threatening you. He's telling you how to make it out alive. You know, if you're in a building, you know, we have one back here in the kitchen, and it shows you a map of where to go if there's a fire. And there's a fire. Are you going to say that map is threatening you? Oh, that map's threatening you. No, you're going to follow the way to get out of the burning building. I want you to be in torment. I want you to follow the example of the Old Testament that points the way towards Jesus and find a way to make it out of the building before you get burned up with it. This morning, if I can encourage you in any way to become a Christian, I would do so. It's that important to your life. It's that important to your thinking. It's that important to your relationship with God. If you're struggling, we want to pray with you. We want to help you. We're not in this alone. We're in this together. If we can help you in any way, please come while we stand and sing.